Okay, this morning, after the worship meeting, I talked about an incident that happened to me approximately a month and a half ago. I had open heart surgery, and we talked a lot about the arteries, and we talked a lot about our physical heart as well as our spiritual heart. And we talked about the whole idea of things coming in our lives that will block our spiritual heart, our spiritual arteries, and that will be negative in our life. What I feel the Lord would have me speak on this morning at this particular time is we know all about the man's heart, but can we know what about God's heart? Can we really understand God? Can we really appreciate God? Can we really worship God the way He would like us to worship Him? I'm not going to answer that question right off the bat, but it's a question that's very important. We can know man's heart. Now, I'm going to show a picture here now, for instance, about the heart of God, but you know, I know this picture might offend some of you, and I apologize. But I'm going to show a few pictures like that because it shows Jesus and His heart. But you know what I thought of first to speak on is becoming a man, a woman after God's own heart. I thought about speaking about that. Becoming a man, a woman after God's heart. And I thought, no, I want to learn about God and I want to learn about His heart. So then I thought of another possibility, and that was the mind and heart of God. But I had trouble with the mind of God. I mean, he's so vast. But I think we could, and we can, know about the heart of God. And we're going to look into that. And then I thought, no, I'll start another one. Marks of a right heart before God. That's more about man. So then I got another idea. I said, no, I'm going to preach about reasons David is called a man after God's own heart. Now, this morning we talked about that. A little bit. We're going to talk a little bit about it more in the second meeting now. But can we really know? Then I thought, no, I'm going to talk about chastening after the heart of God. You know, I worked a lot in Quebec, and you see these pictures in Quebec all the time. I've worked in Argentina for over 20 years, and I've been going back and forth for over 20 years, and it talks a lot in Argentina and Quebec about the heart of God, but people don't know the heart of God, and they don't know man's heart. You know, the Bible says very clearly, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The Lord searches the heart. I try the reins even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. We can know about the man's heart. But can we know about God? Yes, we can. But you know, the heart of God is saddened many times. And I'm just going to give you some reasons why the heart of God is saddened. What are some of the things that break the heart of God? And this will give you a little bit of idea how the heart of God is. And then we'll go into it a little more detail. But you know, death, seamless, senseless killing and sorrow brings back breaks the heart of God. Okay? So we're looking to the negative first, and then we're going to go look at the positive, because I'm a positive person, and I don't want to dwell on the negative. But can you imagine death and seamless killing, senseless killing, and sorrows of being broke breaks the heart of God? And then another thing that breaks the heart of God, a church without a shepherd breaks the heart of God. And we can thank God that here at 16th we have shepherds. But many churches are without shepherds. And that breaks the heart of God. And these are things that we find in Scripture. Then we find that false teaching and compromise breaks the heart of God. And there's much false preaching out there. But here at 16, thank God, the preaching is biblical. And that is so important. Also, broken marriages, families breaks the heart of God. And if you're in one of those situations, you've come to the right place, because, you know, 16th is like a hospital. 16th is like a spiritual hospital. If you're going through a problem in your marriage, talk to the elders. Talk to them. Open up to them. They love you. God loves you. But you know, God, it breaks his heart when families break up. Deliberate and self-abort parenting breaks the heart of God. Disobedient children breaks the heart of God. Unbelief and rejection breaks the heart of God. My sins and your sins breaks the heart of God. And I could go on and on. The list is endless to what breaks the heart of God. But can we really know the heart of God? I'm talking about the creator of this universe. I'm talking about the Almighty One. And I'm telling you this morning, we can know it. We can know the heart of God. If you want to know the heart of God, you know how to do that? Know about Jesus, because see, Jesus is God. And I'm going to show you from Scripture. If you're making notes or taking pictures up here, that's absolutely phenomenal. That's great. But you can know God if you know Jesus. I know a lot about God. He's my best friend. You know, I drive down the road many times. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. I think people must think I'm drunk because I'm just singing. I'm just enjoying Jesus. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And he's just the same as his lovely name. So we can know God, and we can know God through Jesus. Now, let me share some verses with you. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, before Abraham was even born, I am. Now, I am is a name for God in the Old Testament. I am. Jesus is the I am. And before Abraham, Jesus existed, because God's always existed, and Jesus is God. The Father and I are one. They're the same. I know it's hard to understand. Please, please. I understand. I've been studying it for over 50 years. But by faith, I understand it. The Father and I are one. And Jesus replied, my Father is always working, and so am I. And we have verses after verses. There's only one God, and that's Jesus. You know, the verse that we talk a lot about, especially around this time of the year, before the virgin should be with a child and bear a child, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Jesus is God with us. Emmanuel. And we're going to be celebrating his birth here on earth in December. We don't know exactly the date, but we can certainly enjoy celebrating. How about another verse? For unto the child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So if you want to know the heart of God, get to know Jesus. And you know, this is how we find out about Jesus. I love the Word of God because it tells me all about Jesus. Every page, every thought comes out of this book, as Harold said. It talks about Jesus. And we can know what God is like if we know what Jesus is like. And that is so important. Another verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we know the word logos in Greek is referring to Jesus. Jesus is God. Au commencement était la parole, et la parole était avec Dieu, et la parole était Dieu. God is Dieu. Now, some people read that a different say, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. But it doesn't say that in the Bible. The Word was God, not a God. The Word was God. Jesus is God. The Word is God. This is so important that we understand that and appreciate it. Jesus claimed to be God. It might be hard to understand how this could be, but it's important to remember that God is much bigger and more powerful than we can even comprehend. That's why I wasn't going to talk about the mind of God. I thought of preparing that, but I thought about the heart of God, because God has a heart for you and I. He loves you. He sent his son, himself, his person, into the world for you and I, so we would be able to know more about him. So important, so important. Yes? Jesus answered them, I and my Father are one. What more do you want? God is Jesus and Jesus is God. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God, referring to Jesus. Now, I know other religions and other things like that that say that Jesus was just a prophet, a good man, a man that was a good example. But Jesus was more than that. He was God. He came down in the person. God came down in the person of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. One more. But to the son he said, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. So time and time and time again in the Bible, we have evidence that Jesus is God. So if you want to know the heart of God, you've got to study about his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is God? Jesus is God. There's no two ways about it. Now, do you know God? Now, we can know God only because of Jesus. Jesus came into the world so that we can be reconciled with God. Jesus came in the world to die for your sins and my sins so we could attain God. All the good works that we can produce will not get us in favor with God. All the money we give, all the good works, all the charity, all what we do, going to church, all those things won't get us to God. Studying philosophy and psychology and theology, that won't get us to God. The only way to get to God is through his son. Jesus wants us to be a part of the family of God. We understood that. And look at how many nationalities we have here. How many different backgrounds we all have. But if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you're my brother or my sister. We're part of a family, and that family is God is the head of that family, and we can attain God through Jesus. Now, a lot of people say, well, we can attain God through Mary, for instance, a wonderful person, the mother of Jesus, just a wonderful person. I love studying about Mary in the Bible. I have great appreciation to it. But what did Mary say to the servants at the first miracle of Jesus? She said to the servants, do what Jesus said to do. And Jesus says, come unto me. We're going to see it. Come unto me. Come to me. And we can come to Jesus. And through coming to Jesus, we can know about God and what he did and who he is and what he represents. You can know God. And that is so important, because as we've read already, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still and know that I am God. And what a satisfaction to know God personally. What a joy to know God in a personal way. We hear a lot about different gods in the world, but I'm talking about the Creator. I'm talking about Jesus. I'm talking about the Creator of the heaven and the earth. But we got to take time. We got to take time to know God. And it's not as easy as some people think. But all we have to do is put our faith and trust in Jesus, and that will attain us the possibility of arriving at a personal relationship with God. See, when I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior 63 years ago up at Emily Island Bible Camp, he gave me the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is working in me and through me, so I will know more and more and more. And that's why we sing about the Bible. That's why we're so excited about the Bible. To know God is to know the Word, as I said. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we find that in the Word. Jesus is the Word, and this is the Word of God. And they go together. And as we study the Word of God, as we study about the Word, which is God, we can find out who God is. It's difficult to understand, and I appreciate that. But by faith, do you know God? Read the Bible to know God. And not just, you know, just a quick up. No, we got to get into the Word of God. It says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Yes, we've got to get into the Word of God. We've got to study the Word of God. We've got to obey the Word of God. And we can have eternal life through knowing who God is. In the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, God provides his longing to be known by us. Jesus took on flesh, not just to save us and to redeem us, that was his main thing, but he wanted to reveal his Father, the revelation of his Father. Jesus said, I've come to do my Father's will. And the thing that God wants us to know him and to appreciate him, and you can know the heart of God. And we're referring to God, not just a physical heart, as we talked about earlier this morning. It's so important to realize who God is and what he did for us. You know, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at this, his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For God sees not as a man sees. For man sees on the outward appearance, but God looks at your heart, at the heart. God is looking at your heart. Jesus is looking at your heart, and he wants you to know him. He wants you to know his heart. As you know the story here that Samuel, they were looking for a new king, and they saw Saul, and they saw some of these big, good-looking, handsome, strong men. But David was the chosen one of God. Says in the Word of God, after he had removed him, he raised up David to be the king, concerning whom he also testified and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart who will do all my will. Now, I know David made a lot of mistakes in his life. You and I make a lot of mistakes in our life, but we can still be like David, men and women after God's own heart. And as we get to know him, those things will be separated from us. As we come to know God and know God's heart, we know what God wants for us. It's so, but God demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us, so as we go to Christ, Christ will take us to the Father. And it's the working of the Holy Spirit in your life after you've accepted Jesus that will make you grow and be more like Jesus. That's what he wants. He wants us to be more like him. David was a man after God's own heart. So important. David saw what God was like and modeled his heart, his spirit, into the likeness of what he saw. And as we read the Word of God, as we see the heart of God, as we see the heart of Jesus, we will follow him. That's what he wants. Should I go there? You pray about it. You read about it. You pray about it. God will guide you. Yes, I should go there. Should I do this? Should I go there? Should I take that? Should I buy that? We can take all these things to God through Jesus in prayer, and he will answer us. It is so exciting to be part of the whole process of knowing God's heart. It's so vast. It's so exciting. David, as we read David in the Psalms, we can see what it was like. He made many contributions to all the saints of all the Christian era, such as the Psalms that he wrote and the examples of the righteous deeds that he did. And as you get in Psalms, as you get in the Psalms and you read the Psalms, you find out God's
armed me with strength. And it talks all about God. Everything underlined there in orange is about God. It's all about God. God, you can know God's heart. And as you read through the Psalms, as you study the Psalms, as you pray over the Psalms, God will reveal himself.
David was a man after God's own heart. Yes, Jesus has a heart for you, each one of us individually. You know, I always like this one. Jesus wept. The weeping king. Jesus was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and yet he wept. He wept. He cried. We have two examples of that in the Word of God. And as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. And then we find when Lazarus, Jesus wept. Do you understand that? That Jesus wept and he weeps for you and me. He wants us to come to him. He wants us to be part of his family. That's why 16th Avenue exists, because it's part of the big universal gathering of believers, pursuing the heart of God, working towards, studying, praying, reading, talking, getting to know the heart of God. That's what he wants us to do. That's what he wants each and every one of us to do. God has made a way for you to know his heart in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You can know him in an intimate, deep, and personal way as you study the Word of God, as you look at the Word of God, as you obey the Word of God, as you practice the Word of God. All we have to do is put our faith in God's ability to reveal himself when you seek him and set aside time to know the heart of your Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father. I never had a father figure when I was young. I had two fathers and four mothers. We won't go into that now. But I was a one-night stand. And my biological father, it was Avita Zane, ciao, arrivederci, goodbye. I'm gone, I'm out of here. And I was left with my mother. And then her husband came back from the war. And this gorgeous little blonde-haired, blue-eyed baby, that's me, he didn't want anything to do with me. So he said, Avita Zane, ciao. And I was left. I was put in an orphanage. But I have a Heavenly Father that loves me. And you can have that same Heavenly Father. When Father's Day comes, I can't celebrate it. But I celebrate Father's Day every day of my life because my Heavenly Father is just all over me. He loves me. He cares for me. And he sent his Son on the cross to die for me. And as I accepted him as my personal Savior, as I accepted Jesus, who'd taken my place on the cross for my sins, he's become my Heavenly Father. And I'm to pursue him. And you can have that same joy and happiness that I've had over these years. You know, these are only pictures, but I love them. See, Jesus loves. As I've gone to 75 different countries in this world, 75, I have seen Jesus working the lives of boys and girls and men and women, all ages, all nationalities, all things. I know these are only pictures, but it helps me because I'm a photographer to appreciate it. Look at Jesus just holding the people, and he wants to hold you. He's holding me. Before I went into the operation, I knew that they were to take my heart out of my body. I knew that they were going to work on my heart and fix on my heart and put it back into my body. And there's a percentage that don't make it. But see, it was a win-win situation for me. If I died, whoo, I'd go to my Heavenly Father. And if I lived, I can talk about my Heavenly Father here on earth. So it was a win-win situation. I was not afraid. Many people were afraid for me, but I wasn't afraid. Yes, Jesus wept. Jesus wept. And you know what Jesus says? He says in the Word of God, he says, come to me, all ye who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. My second father took me out of an orphanage and with his wife, and then his wife left them, and then I went to live over here, and then I went to live over there, and I went to live over there. But you know, men of a church, like this church here, 16, came and picked up this skinny little runt. He picked him up, and he took him to Sunday school when he was 7 years old. And I learned that Jesus was there. And he's been my friend all these years, since I was 10 years old. And he wants to be your friend. Do you have problems? Do you have anxieties? Do you have health problems, financial? God will help you through the person of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus wants you to come to him, to go to him. He's there with his arms wide, wide open. It's very important to realize that Jesus wept for us. No matter who you are or what you have done, Jesus loves you. And this I know. I've sung it in French, Spanish, and English. Jesus loves you. Jesus, he loves each and every one of you. You are loved. So many people say, well, nobody loves me. But I think that's a lie. That's a lie. Because God does love each and every one of us. That's the heart of God. Love. Love is the heart of God. And he wants to be a part. All that is left for you to do is to have faith in God's ability to reveal himself when you seek him and set aside time to know the heart of your heavenly Father. May you make time to exactly that today. When you get home this afternoon and you take a cup of coffee and you sit down and you think about what I've been saying, and maybe God isn't really a part of your life. Maybe he's not your best friend. But he loves you, and he loves me, and he loves all of us, and that's for sure. Meditate on what the scripture says about the knowability of God's heart. Let God's word fill you with faith to seek deeper relationship with your Father. Sometimes I talk about my Heavenly Father, not this message, because I just prepared this for this morning, but I talk about my Heavenly Father, and people get after me. They never had a father figure in their life either, and they can't imagine any father loving them. But Jesus loves us, and God is Jesus. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the scripture searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the Spirit of the man who is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. And we have that Spirit of God in us. When you accept Jesus, he gives us the Holy Spirit, and he's a real person. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. You're going to say, well, I don't understand that. But once you accept Jesus, then he gives you the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will help you understand more about the heart of God. And he's so real. He's so real. Now, this is eternal life, that you know that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Would you like to know God? You can ask him. You can say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Come in today. Come in this day. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And he'll come into your heart. I accepted him when I was 10 years old. I didn't know what justification was, or sanctification, or glorification. I knew hardly anything. I was just an orphan, picked up off the street. Went to about 8 different schools. Passed on trial in grade 2, 4, and 6. Flunked grade 8 twice. Woo! You got to be pretty stupid to flunk the same grade twice. But I did it. I finally got my grade 12, though. It took me a couple of extra years. But I knew I had a Heavenly Father, even though my family was a disaster, even though there was problems, because I knew Jesus. I have made you known to them, and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. God wants to be in you, a part of you. He wants to be a part of your life. Jesus loves you. Don't ever forget it. Accept Jesus today. That's what he wants. He wants you to accept him. He's saying, hey, give me your hand. Give me your hand. That's what Jesus is saying. But he wants your heart, not just your hand. He wants you 100%. And as you turn your life over to him, you're going to be surprised what he will do for you. Ask God to reveal an aspect of his heart that you need to know. Ask him how he feels about you in this moment. Ask him to reveal just how near and loving he is. Rest in his presence. And God answers prayer. Pray in the name of Jesus, and God will answer your prayers, and he'll show himself to you if he hasn't done all. Say, ask God. That's what he wants us to do, to ask him. Thank God for how available he is to you. Worship him because he paid the ultimate price simply for you to know him. As for you, for our thanksgiving on him, watch as he pours out his presence over you. He wants to be a part of you. Thank God. If you haven't done it, I'm not going to run away. I've got my computer and stuff to pick up. I'm in no hurry. If you want to take me out for a coffee, I had a coffee at 8 o'clock this morning at Starbucks. You can take me again. But we'll go over there. We'll talk about it. We talk about it right here. If you aren't a part of that family that we're so excited about, if you haven't known the heart of God and the person of Jesus Christ, I'd love to talk to you more. That's what 16th Avenue Gospel Chapel is all about. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for this hospital, this place, this gospel, the good news church. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that good news is proclaimed clearly and plainly here from this pulpit Sunday after Sunday. We thank you for everybody that's here this morning, Heavenly Father, and we just pray in the precious name of Jesus that they will look and find about your heart, God, and how much you love them. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish but have everlasting life. We thank you for that verse, Heavenly Father. God, you are Tanam Elamon. We thank you, Heavenly Father. God loves the world. Whatever language, whatever nationality, whatever we've done in life, the good and the bad, there's nothing too bad that we've done that hinders us to come to you. And we know that your arms are wide open. You're saying, come on, I want to help you. Father, we ask these things, giving you thanks in the precious, wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you and have a wonderful Sunday afternoon. Thank you. Thank you. It worked good.